The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "In praying, do not babble like the pagans, who think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is how you are to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you forgive others their transgressions, your Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive you your transgressions." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I have often preached on this gospel about how the Our Father is not just a set of words to say, but is actually a structure of prayer. I don't want to repeat that homily again this morning. I just make reference to it. But there seem to be basically five aspects of prayer that are listed here. Let me just rapidly mention them, that we should relate, namely that God is our Father. We should relate to him, that we should rejoice, you know, that his name is holy and we praise him, that we should receive from him, namely listen to his will and his word, through his word and the teachings of the church, reflecting on it and receiving it into our life. The fourth thing that we should request, namely, give us our daily bread, and that we should repent, namely, receive forgiveness for our sins, but also beg deliverance from evil in the world. And those five things seem to be kind of five elements of the prayer life of a Christian. I've spoken on this elsewhere, so you can check the blog, all kinds of fun stuff to find that. I want to then focus on a couple of other aspects, though, of this gospel today. First of all, sort of coming off of yesterday's reading, you remember we talked yesterday about the problem of hypocrisy. And the problem of hypocrisy is that we end up becoming like an actor on a stage, desperately seeking people's approval for our dignity, because we don't know the Father, because we don't know God. Then Jesus gives a solution, therefore, get to know and love and know your Father's love for you, and you won't be desperate for other people's approval, and you'll be able to climb off the stage and be the authentic man or woman I've called you to be, and instead of running around trying to please people. All right, that was yesterday's homily. Now, in today, the Lord picks up on this theme a bit, and he says, you know, when you pray, don't babble like the pagans. They think they're going to be heard because of the many words. Now, let's begin with the idea of what's meant here by babbling. And basically, it's nervous talk. You know, lots of words. Now, when you are going to go to someone you don't know very well, let's say they have something you need. Maybe it's like a job interview or something to this effect. You're going to go and ask, make a request of somebody for a large donation to some organization that you represent or something to this effect. You're going to someone you don't really know. You sort of fear a little bit because they might say no. And so you rehearse your speech. You have your talking points memorized. You know, everything is carefully planned out. And, you know, oh, I got to say this, and I got to say this, and I got to say that. And this is sort of the approach. So, you see, you're going to someone, A, you really don't know. B, you're going to make a request. You think they're going to be a little unwilling to give. And C, you're anxious because they may say no. All right. Now, is this how we're supposed to approach the Heavenly Father? Is what Jesus is getting at. You see, when you love your Father, and you know he loves you, and you're in this intimate relationship, which as Paul says, we didn't receive a spirit of adoption that falls into fear, but a spirit that cries out, Abba, Abba, which means, you know, Papa or Daddy. It's the family word for God. It's not the Father,
the deity up there running things. I don't really know him very well, but I better be in good favor with him. You see, no, Abba, Abba. You know, this word Abba means, again, Papa or Daddy. It's not baby talk. It's the family word for God, or for Father. You know, I told you this before. When my father was alive, I would never have picked up the phone and called him and said, "Hello, Father. How are you today, Father?" I mean, I'd say Dad, you know. So, in other words, close, affectionate, family. We're family, you see. All right. Now, this is what the Lord is getting at here. He's saying, you know, if God is your Father, if He's Abba, do you have to go, if I don't say the following sequence of words and punch the right combination, I won't get what I want, and I got to multiply words and be nervous and talk, and then maybe God will give me what I want. You see, is that the kind of relationship that we're supposed to? And of course, the answer is no. What the Lord is inviting us to do is to accept what He's offering us, that we can refer to the God of all creation as Abba, as Papa, as Daddy, to experience close, affectionate relationship with Him, and knowing His love for us, confident of His mercy and His grace and His providence, and so on. So again, as we become increasingly free of sin, as we become increasingly close to the Father, we just have this relationship that speaks simply to Him. Okay. Now, when we have a good friend, you know, we don't call up and nervously go on forever about something. We just tell our friend what we're interested in telling them. We use simple words. We're plain. We're forthright. We just speak plainly. And this is what the Lord is inviting us to do, you see, to have this kind of a relationship. So you don't need to babble on. You don't need to multiply words. Now, this, of course, leads to some questions about prayers like the Rosary or the Divine Mercy Chaplet or other sorts of chaplets or novenas. Are we not multiplying words? And yes, we are. We are multiplying words. But notice it says, don't go on to babble like the pagans who think they will be heard because of their many words, who think they will be heard because of their many words. So here's the thing to avoid with any sort of novena, rosary, chaplet, whatever, that if I don't say the right combination, if my mind strays too much, I might not get what I want. You know, in other words, to think that somehow this is the only way God's going to hear me, if I do this really lengthy prayer and really show Him how much I want it. This is not a good approach to the rosary. The rosary and other prayers like it are very helpful to some people who find its rhythm. It helps them to enter into a prayer. It helps them. It's kind of the gospel on a string, isn't it? You know, just how we memorize the many passages of the gospel and we think about them. It's a helpful prayer form, but it's for us. It's not for God. It's not like, if I don't say all these prayers, God won't answer. If you think that way, you are in violation of a text like this, you see. So, again, the rosary and prayers like it can be very helpful. But it is not simply about multiplying words. That's not its purpose. It shouldn't be anyway. This would be something to avoid with the rosary. So we don't need to become so defensive about things like the rosary, but we do need to accept that there are dangers in this sort of praying, that we treat it like a rabbit's foot, or we treat it like some sort of, if I say it in the right combination, out will come my answer, you know. But it's for me. It helps me so that I can be more in touch with the God who loves me. That's the vision of it. And then there is this other aspect of this I just want to finish with, which is that it says here and at the very end, there's a kind of a warning, and I don't have time to develop it this morning, but it's interesting. At the end of the prayer, there is a reference here, you know, to forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And then the Lord gives a warning. He says, now if you forgive people their sins, your Father will forgive you yours. But if you do not forgive other people their sins, your Father will not forgive you yours. Very, very serious, you know, reminder here. Now, there's this, people sometimes recoil because
I think we do sometimes struggle to forgive, don't we? It's a hard thing. But remember, I'm asking you to remember that one of the most basic principles about the moral law for the Christian is not that I'm doing it, but that rather God is doing it in me. So again, to the degree that we become more and more free of sin and we begin to yield to God's transformative grace in us, the idea is that we're going to begin to discover that it's easier to forgive, that we don't resent and want to retaliate and hold grudges, and we just begin to let go of this stuff and we're free of it, see? So once again, the Lord is saying, I want you to understand something. You cannot bring your resentments, your bitterness, your retaliatory nature to heaven. It has to go. And I can do that for you. Again, let me live my life in you, let me transform you, and you will become more merciful, more compassionate, more forgiving, and even some of the deepest hurts inside of you, where you just have never been able to accept what someone said to you, or did to you, or didn't say, or didn't do, you're going to be free of that. But you got to let me do this work, because you can't bring that bitter heart to heaven with you. It just doesn't work. So that's the vision here. One little aside, there's a word in the Our Father that nobody knows how to deal with in the scripture scholarship world. But just to show you how geeky people can sometimes be, there's a word in here, epiousion in the Greek, give us this day, which is translated here, give us this day our daily bread, but that's not what epiousion means. Epiousion means super substantial. It's what it would literally translate. So give us today our super substantial bread. But scripture scholars can't agree with what it means. Because it doesn't seem to... There's no other use of this word anywhere in scripture. There's no use of this word in the Greek lexicon of the ancient world. It's just not a word that's ever used. It's sort of a made-up word. Epiousia. And scripture scholars have no idea what it means. But don't you know what it means? Give us today our super substantial bread. Don't you know? The Eucharist. I mean, come on, it's a bread beyond what we could ever ask or want or imagine or need. It's just that bread which is beyond anything we could ever desire. It is the Lord of glory himself, you see. And so I think a simple child of faith could know what epiousion means if you describe a little bit about, you know, what's meant by substance and so on. But a bread is clearly to me a reference to the Eucharist. Since scripture scholars can't figure it out, they just take Luke's version, just said daily, so they just yanked the word from Luke and threw it into the Matthean. But if you read older Catholic translations of the Bible, like the Douay Rheims, it says, give us today our super substantial bread. So, but as I say, I find it humorous, you know. What could this mean? We can't find it anywhere in the Greek dictionary, and we can't, and there's all this nervousness. So tell the scripture, you know, Father or Sir, Madam, get on your knees. Just pray. Go to Mass. And when you go up to receive communion, now I get it. All right. Just an aside. Amen. Let's pray.